Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Well, good morning, everybody. And I was at a dinner last night. You lose track of what's going on, so I'm glancing at the paper. And I see this cub crossing the plate, and then it says the Cubs score as they take an 8-7 lead. And then I'm trying to think, well, who won the game? And I look over. Nelson wastes big leads. I still don't, and then I finally look. The third look, I see the score. You know, I just. It's like these people, when they're doing announcing of games, and they go, and the pass is caught, and he goes...
If you're running a B2B business, there's a brand new three-minute video...
Joe here from Comedy on...
Sorry about that. I'll call that a technological hiccup. But they don't tell you what's going on. They don't tell you... I mean, there's like 5 seconds of description before you know what's going on. Anyway, the Brewers lost. It's the bottom line. Bucks lost. I think the Bucks could capture some interest if they win this series. Trump traveled to Kenosha. We'll talk about that. But first, I want to talk about this shooting because the Associated Press called this a shooter. Okay, this man who said he hated white people, African-American man, his name was Corey Ali Muhammad, 39, went on a rampage. Shot three white people, killed them, fired 16 rounds in less than 2 minutes at four places within a block, shooting men who appeared to be going about their day, authorities said. Now, during his arrest, Muhammad shouted, Allah Akbar, which is Arabic for God is great. But the Associated Press said he shouted, God is great. Now, Mike Brockville, who's busy with technical problems, but if somebody shouts, God is great, don't you think that you would mean, or you would think they were saying in English, God is great?
Yeah, not Allah Akbar.
He didn't say, the Associated Press didn't say he said Allah Akbar, which is, of course, Arabic, and which is what all these, a lot of other shooters who are devoted to ISIS have said. I mean, the guy at Fort Hood who killed 13 Americans. I mean, it happens a lot.
Yeah, the
people shout Allah Akbar. But the chief of police was quick to say, oh, this has nothing to do with terrorism. In spite of what he said, it deals with the fact that he hates white people. And that may be true. But you know the Associated Press said, he said, God is great, instead of saying he said Allah Akbar, because they're being politically correct. You know that's true. I mean, there's always this hope and this hope, painful hope that it was these killers and shooters are always going to be white guys, conservative white guys. That's what people want. They just want that. I remember one of the Times Square, there was a would-be Times Square bomber about 5 years ago. Boy, Mayor Bloomberg, well, how do you know? It could just be somebody who doesn't like the government. You know, they're always trying to link any shooter or killer. They're hoping it's like Timothy McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber. That's what they all want. But when they find out it's not, then it's a guy who says Allah Akbar and starts shooting, then, you know, whether he's devoted to ISIS or not, it's, oh, no, it's not terrorism. It's not that. It's just, it's racial. It's racial. Which, of course, it may be. But it just, to me, it's just such an insightful look at the way the Associated Press, which feeds The Wire, feeds papers and news outlets and radio stations all over the country, saying the guy said God is great. The guy didn't say God is great. The guy said Allah Akbar, which means God is great in Arabic. Of course, I guess, I don't know, people get upset about whether it's Angela Merkel or Angela, because apparently in Germany they say Angela. Yeah. But we don't say Deutschland, we say Germany, right? So,
for sure.
210-1667. Hello, Steve.
point, Mitch, I have never seen the, I moved from thinking the press was relatively non-biased, slightly liberal-leaning,
yes,
to now, if anybody lies, it's not Fox. I mean, I had somebody send me a note saying, yep, another Christian terrorist.
Who said that? On this shooting?
God is great. If you hear God is
great. Oh, that's right. Of course, if you report God is great in English, that's what you're going to get, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It probably was a right Christian terrorist extremist
that's
male.
That's always the hope, yeah.
You know? So now the mainstream media is, I don't know how you can call them anything but extreme. They're promoting an extreme left-wing agenda.
Well, it's just the piling on of Trump is just, it's almost comical the way they just, every word, everything, every facial expression. I mean, if you watch the morning cable, it's an orgy of people laughing about Trump.
And every time he does compromise, it's a flip-flop.
Well, if he compromises, no, well.
You never heard about Obama flop.
If he compromises, it is, in fact, he's growing up. He's growing up, you know.
Well, but, dude, well, yeah, maybe, okay. But I cannot believe how extreme and talk about fake news. I mean, why would you want to promote, unless you have an agenda, if you're a news organization, why would you want to make a Muslim statement sound like a Christian statement?
Well, it was Arabic. It's a language. It's
a language, but yeah. Who says?
Well, I mean, a lot of Muslims do.
Allah Akbar.
No, but technically, you could be a Christian or a Buddhist or a Jew and say that, but I know what you're saying. I
mean, yeah, technically you could. Yeah. Practically, it's, you know, if you look at who says it, it's not the
Christian. Yeah, we can see that there's a pattern of people who go on these rampages who are devoted to ISIS, and they shout that. I mean, first time. Yeah.
Yes, but Mitch, you cannot, you can't acknowledge that if you are on the left. Apparently.
Well, I mean, give me a break. I mean, give me a break. Well, and again, the chief police might think it's more of a hate crime, which it may be. I mean, maybe he doesn't like white people. He killed three of them. But I mean, for the Associated Press to say he shouted "God is great" is a little misleading, don't you think?
No, it's hugely misleading. It's ridiculous, and they're just getting unhinged. I mean, they lost the Georgia election yesterday, was going to be proof positive that people don't like Trump.
Well, they sort of lost. I mean, it's going to be a runoff. But
they had a better chance to win it because you had 19 Republicans running against basically one Democrat.
It looks better now for the Republican than it did yesterday. Yes, correct.
Yeah. So Kansas, it's just they're just falling apart.
Steve, be careful of your enthusiasm because, a day is a lifetime in politics.
Oh, it is. But I mean, the Democratic Party is in disarray. They don't have anybody. And I'm not just gloating. I'm just stating the facts.
Well, you got to look
at the
numbers. The numbers are that they lost 1,000 seats in state legislatures during President Obama, and they lost a dozen governors and a dozen senators? I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no question they had a bad run there.
Well, and some of the low infos that call your show will tell you, well, that's because of the racist Americans hating Obama. Well, last I checked, Hillary wasn't a black person that they ran against. Now, maybe I know Hillary said it's because I'm a woman, so that we got all these misogynists out there. So,
well, that word always threw me, that whole misogynist. Here's try to spell that.
Did you notice how this just shows how the liberal machine cranks out information. All these words, gravitas, misogynist, it all comes out the same day from 19 different networks. Do you think it's a coincidence, or do you think maybe there's a little the press releases that the DNC puts out are pretty effective? And read by everybody.
Well, I'm no question there, yeah.
Unlike the Republicans.
See, I will say, though, that if the Trump monster doesn't get tax reform or health care done, I mean, nothing's going to matter. I mean, he'd be in big trouble at that point.
You know, He may be, but honestly, when people were so concerned, and I was concerned about him getting elected, I didn't vote for him, but I said, you know what, this is America. There are checks and balances in place. Obama couldn't do everything he wanted to do, even though he had a telephone and a pen, and Trump's not going to get to do everything he wants to do. But they can influence how things are done. And the thing that amazed me was yesterday, all the people slamming Trump for his executive order to protect American workers. Is that weird or what? So now the left doesn't want to protect American workers?
Well, we're going to get Sly on at the end of the show to talk about that. But I understand what you're saying. That's not going to fly. They lose on that because Trump is on his game when he does this stuff and stays on prompter. And that is where Trump is on his best standing.
And that's where you take the rational Democrats and they say, yeah, this guy's doing the right thing. And it's funny because the left doesn't want rational Democrats, apparently. They want to oppose everything Trump does.
Again, the proof. Now, there's another bill out there that says on the infrastructure bill, you got to use American tools, American, and they want Trump to sign that. So we'll see what happens there. You can always move the goalposts, Steve.
Of course. Until today, that election in Georgia was proof positive that Trump is not being supported. Did you also notice he's back to a 50% approval rating on the daily presidential poll?
Do what?
The daily presidential poll that comes out. Trump's back to a 50% approval rating.
Well, and Rasmussen, right?
I think it's Rasmussen.
You can always count on Rasmussen, Steve. Yeah. It's a Republican polling organization.
And the only thing I don't like about the executive order yesterday is that the left actually, I think, likes having those immigrants come in because it promotes their fact of the big, bad, horrible Republican government. But one of the reasons that we had to enact that is because the left has gotten its way so much with education that we've dumbed down. I saw a Pew report the other day that shows that we are horribly behind in math, science, and technology compared to other industrialized countries. We're not even average.
No, we're in big trouble there. That's
and
depressing.
I tell you, I work with a lot of polymer scientists, chemical engineers, and so on, electrical engineers, and the last company I worked for, the number that were basically had the green card and were here to work, was amazing. And it's true; they don't get paid nearly as much as we would pay our people.
That's true, and that's what we're trying to address. Thank you so much, Steve. Take care, keep fighting, and we'll be back with more. Mikey Michelson coming up. There's an effort by the GOP to deal with homelessness, which intrigues me. When I think of the homeless, I think of pushes to build more shelters or more programs or more rehab, which I would associate with progressives at the local level. But the Republicans in the state are trying to deal with it. I want to know what's going on there. Also, the roads. We'll catch up on the budget with Mike Michelson. That coming up at 8:30. And this, the Mitch Hanks Show, we will going to 2 hours beginning Monday, 8 to 10. So we'll have more of a local focus, and I'll have more time to spend on the other parts of MazinTalks.com, podcasters, and also our Story of Your Life video business, which I'll tell you about. Exciting time. More is better, folks. Trust me on that. We'll have packed content, more local focus on MadisonTalks.com, where you can have your own podcast. Just email me, Mitch@MitchHank.com. And you are listening to the best podcasting website in Wisconsin, MadisonTalks.com.
Running a B2B business, there's a brand new 3-minute video that can change your company and change your life at needmoreme.com. If you're a B2B business owner, boss, or manager struggling to find more time to sell while still running the rest of your business, the new science of virtual relationship building can grow sales for you and as you. If your business has larger relationship-based sales with a long selling cycle and you need help driving more revenue, learn about the future of B2B sales in 3 minutes at needmoreme.com. That's needmoreme.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do for your girl's bachelorette party? Trust me, we can take care of that for you. Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. You don't even have to talk to anybody over the phone if you're a weird person. Let's be honest, you're probably a weirdo. You're listening to Mitch.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down and discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com. The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Alrighty, boys and girls. Why do I say that? How many boys and girls? How many people are going to cut class to hear the show? I mean, Tia, where were you today? Your teacher said, where were you? Well, I was home listening to the Mitch Hanks Show on Madison Talks. And I love listening to the banner with
just in trance.
Mitch and Mike Brocavello. What are you talking about? You're seven. When I was seven, I probably listened to...
I was going
to
say, it sounds like a story of your life.
Well, probably. Well, yeah, Wally Phillips at WGN, I used to listen to him. I was a weird, weird kid. But, you know, you get a certain age, you start to be aware of the adult things, you know, the adult conversation. But it takes a while. I mean, even I mean, the adults were downstairs watching Joe Namath and the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III. I was too young to know what that was.
Yeah.
But by 1970, I was eight, I knew. Man, I watched every minute of that Super Bowl between the Vikings and the Chiefs. Now, of course, that was 1970. You were born in what?
83.
So, you got a later start. But by then, from that point forward, boy, I was paying attention. Of course, the other kids were not, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I wonder why that happened. I paid to watch the ball games, and I just sort of
Star Wars.
Talk to the adults, huh?
I said, "Well, Star Wars happened."
Well, Star Wars. I never really had that much of an interest in that because I was caring about the sports and the political stuff and my mother. So yeah, I just kind of missed that.
Yeah.
Now, there'd be a movie out like Brubaker, which was in high school, and it was Robert Redford trying to reform this prison in the South. And, of course, that just fed my young liberal blood at that point. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know. Yeah. But no, you kind of. I remember in sixth grade, flag football for the school. You know, you played flag football.
Oh, yeah.
And. I would race home on my bike so I could watch the playoffs, you know, the American League play. Nobody else knew there was a game on, you know. So I don't know why that was. I mean, why? I just was fascinated, I guess. But enough about that. Donald Trump makes his first trip to Wisconsin since the election. And he goes to the Snap-on plant. in Kenosha to sign an executive order saying that American government money has to go to jobs that use American workers and American products. And, of course, the crowd is loving every minute of it. And here's Donald Trump.
When I was growing up in Queens, we had vocational schools. They were great. We don't have schools like that so much anymore, but we're bringing them back, vocational schools. These are very talented people that love that type of work, and it's great work. It really is great work. So vocational schools are going to be a big factor in the Trump administration. Together, we're going to do everything in our power to make sure that more products are stamped with those wonderful words, made in the USA. The old days we used to use it, we don't use it so much anymore. We're going to start using it again. Made in the USA. For too long, we've watched as our factories have been closed and our jobs have been sent to other faraway lands. We've lost 70,000 factories since China joined the World Trade Organization. And you've seen that. You've heard about it. 70,000. The World Trade Organization, another one of our disasters. But this election, the American people voted to end the theft of American prosperity. They voted to bring back their jobs and to bring back their dreams into our country. That's why I'm here today. In just a few moments, I will be signing a Buy American and Hire American executive order. You haven't heard about that in a long time in this country. With this action, we are sending a powerful signal to the world. We're going to defend our workers, protect our jobs, and finally, put America first.
Well, and the people, of course, liked it. And, you know, he had a lot of cabinet people there with him on that trip. I saw Betsy DeVos on that trip. And, of course, Reince Priebus was there. He's from Kenosha, chief of staff, who looks like Kevin Pollack. Looks and sounds like Kevin Pollack, Reince Priebus. I don't know why, but I told him that. He said, well, I've heard that, you know.
Once or twice.
Well, by the way, there's probably more important things to talk about. By the way, Paul Ryan, you know, I'm in the rotation after I blew him off when he called. And yeah. I was on a rant about the Ohio State stabber, and let's go to Paul in Kenosha. Or no, in Chaseville.
We still feel bad about that, Paul.
I still feel guilty about it. They sent a press release on it just to make fun of me. And I requested him again. I'm in the apparently the Speaker of the House doesn't just jump when you put your name in the hopper. So maybe it'll be the fall of 2019 when we get the Speaker on again. But I'm trying. We're in line. By the way, this whole thing with the executive order and signing for American jobs and American products, not everybody agrees. Mark Cuban, owner of the Dallas Mavericks, doesn't agree. He was on a debate with Tucker Carlson on Fox last night. We should get to that. We got Mikey Michelson on this homeless thing. The GOP on the homeless. I'm just curious about that. Also, working with the city, get an update on how things are happening with the panhandlers and the medians. Are you noticing them gone?
Yes.
I've been noticing them not being there.
Yeah.
Kind of missed some of them, actually. Of course, I interviewed four of them on my column.
Right.
And they're gone. But apparently they're going to Fitchburg, or they're going to
not far.
Somewhere else they can go. Back with that and so much more. On the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today we enjoy a movie about movie land. Based on the 1937 film A Star Is Born, this touching tale of a small-town gal who makes it big in Hollywood was adapted for radio by the Ford Theater. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right after the Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim sold our new construction house in a matter of hours. And on top of that, we sold it above the asking price. That's a great testament to him. He priced it perfectly and talked about its features to a T.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
This is Kirk Dobinspeck, Badger hockey alum. I highly recommend Tim Rail.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
All righty. We are back indeed with our Mike Michelson guest, Smart Man on the Right. Mike used to call my show, and you know, I used to call an IBA, Mike, and back in the day, and you always would go in and challenge the some of the teachers' union arguments. Remember that? You'd call in and
yep.
You'd always say, well, here's what really happens, or here's the reality. Or, I mean, and I had liberal friends who'd say, who is that guy? He's pretty smart. And I go, well, yeah. I mean, not everybody is, Mike, as you probably know. I mean, you have to sit there and watch people talk all day. And
no. Unfortunately, Mitch, a lot that goes on in government, whether it's K-12 education or everywhere else, is not, while it's transparent, it takes a lot of time and detail. And as, again, pointing back to Act 10, when we kept saying prior to Act 10 that there were billions of dollars that could be re-diverted in K-12, we were proven right when we passed Act 10. We saw in the first few years well over $3 billion. They were re-diverted for other uses in government. Some went back to taxpayers. A large portion stayed and went towards frontline services, whether it was schools or municipalities. So, again, I think that's one of the things we work on all the time is to try to educate the public that there's more behind the scenes than they know.
Now, the pushback on that today, aside from hard feelings, what is that we have a mass, you've heard that, a mass exodus, people are leaving the profession. Do you not buy those?
I don't buy arguments? That. I think those that are there who want to be part of, you know, the old union-style form of education, yeah, they're leaving, and I say good riddance. And that's simply the fact. What you're getting today are teachers who want to be professionals, teachers who want to go in and educate children, who are willing to put in the extra time without going to a union grievance committee to get extra money. You know, they're, of course, they all want more money, but they're willing to earn it based on merit, like you see across private schools.
Oh, merit, well, it's a hard nut to crack in the public schools, right?
It's not a hard nut, Mitch, because, you know, the teachers who are there early in the morning, late at night, doing the extra work, prepping their classrooms. I'm going to tell you, any parent who has had one of those.
Well, yeah, sure, yeah. But how do you do it, right? That's the question.
Well, it's possible, Mitch. You
have well, now to, it is.
It is now because you had to break the backs of the unions, who their only rule of thumb was if you kept breathing, you deserve more. And if you
paid, well, and the longer you're there,
the longer you paid union dues, the more you deserve. Yeah. That's correct.
Well, of course, the and the extra education fit into the whole thing too, right? With the masters and all that, you get.
We have a lot of good teachers in Wisconsin, Mitch, and I mean this sincerely, and they deserve to be paid better. But the problem is they're being paid the same sometimes as the teachers who aren't so good, and that's
well, okay. But how many school boards are going to have the short hairs to do that? You know how tough that is.
Well, in Dane County, not many, as we always see in Dane County. But if you go around the state, there are other school boards who've taken on and now control their own destiny, have been doing forms of this, have programs where people are using open enrollment from neighboring districts wanting to get in large numbers. So around the state, you're seeing school districts that have positioned themselves as more modernist.
Uh-huh. So around the state, a school board could say, all right, well, Mr. Smith comes in here early and he stays late and these kids love him. We're going to pay him more.
Correct, and that's what's going on. And they're actually competing for teachers. I mean, it's great for the teaching profession. There are teachers who now will get recruited by other districts to come and teach for them, and those districts will put money behind that. And so we've seen the profession of teaching once again become a profession.
Well, I would just say this, Mike. You, when you walk down the street in Dane County, do people just hiss openly, or how does this work? I mean,
yes, I would say the hissing and the pointing.
Do they walk to the other side of the street?
I hear parents tell their kids, there go one of those.
Oh, God. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, Dane County, I think what happens is people are skewed by what happens in Dane County, so they really can't see what might be happening in Allegheny County, nor do they care. So they just probably see you as the Antichrist, and that's the way it goes. You know.
Well, that we are. We certainly, because state government is based in Madison, the Republicans have been an occupying force. I think that's pretty clear. But that's the problem. Dane County is one out of 72. The other 71 counties, even Milwaukee County, is changing. And so you've got Dane County, which just continues to sit in this, they think they're the Berkeley of the Midwest, which they are. But the rest of Wisconsin doesn't want to be that. So, I won't bring up Joe Parisi, but I think Joe Parisi just kind of made that case yesterday.
Well, I'll give it that in a minute. But who's first here? Well, we got some calls. I see Jeff Simpson wants to weigh in, but we got to free the phone up here, Mike. But I think you guys could go on the road. It's sort of like that series with Gordon Liddy and Timothy Leary back in the day, you know. Jeff Simpson next? Okay. So the phone's 210-1667. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, I'm going to ignore the fact that we have a county taxpayer-paid staffer moonlighting on your show, but I just want to know, what is merit in teaching? How do you decide merit? How do you decide the good teachers from the bad teachers?
Merit in teaching can take several forms, one of which is monitoring the teacher and the student performance in the classroom. So one piece of it is the performance of their students in core subjects. Another piece is that teacher.
So, what do you mean by performance? Their grades?
Their grades, their work, their portfolios. Many school districts are doing their own internal testing. I'm not talking about the state testing. I'm talking about many districts have developed portfolios that track students. Many districts already do this.
Well, Jeff, I have a question from the proletariat myself. What about improvement from the beginning of the year to the middle of the year to the end of the year per student? I mean, you can't compare the challenged student with the gifted and talented student, but each one getting better as the year goes along. Isn't that the way to go?
Absolutely, I agree with that completely. But how do you judge it? By their grades? By kids are different, right? So, what if a kid really improves in social studies but not in math because they're not a math kid?
Well, the reality is this, Jeff. I know you don't buy into this.
No, I understand that.
Academics are academics, and the argument that every kid can't learn math or every kid can't learn English or these other things.
Well,
that's
not the argument. The argument is some kids are better at math.
That is his argument.
Hey, I could do English and language and literature and all that stuff with my eyes closed, but boy, if we got into the advanced math, I was in big trouble.
Well, and that again is where a teacher who can show that they can reach kids, that can take kids from a place where they were previously in the previous school year and continue to advance them. Now, most districts are already tracking students. They have a portfolio system in place. Many districts have this. It is the unions that oppose this kind of concept, because what it says is, well, wait a second, that teacher who puts in the extra time, that teacher that puts in the effort to reach certain students should be recognized, and that is the process. And we've talked to principals. I know Jeff doesn't believe this, but I talk to hundreds of educators every year, and we've heard from principals, we've heard from school administrators, we've heard from teachers who have said this is doable. It is happening right now. Districts are developing portfolios on students. They can see year-to-year change, and they can track over multiple years which teacher is better at taking students further than others teaching at the same level. Those teachers deserve to be paid better.
Teachers can reach different kids. So yeah, I don't
buy that. What that tells us is the other teachers are not doing something they should be.
No, it tells us that teachers can reach different kids. Teachers, everybody's personality reaches different kids. That's what it tells you. And some kids, like we said, they aren't math kids, so they aren't going to necessarily reach the math.
No, and I understand that, because I actually got an algebra tutor. But you know, the truth was, I didn't pay attention in algebra, so because I was writing notes and stuff. So that was really and of course, when I sat with the tutor, Jeff, and the tutor explained, mm-hmm. I went, oh boy, I get that. I understand, because I was paying attention.
Right.
I wasn't paying attention in class. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you're sitting there with a tutor, I mean, at their house, and you're focusing on the problem. They explain, you go, oh boy, I get that. You know.
Well, so should your algebra teacher been punished for that, Mitch?
No, I was, believe me, my mother was a teacher. Mike, I will say, it's not always the teacher's fault.
No, but there is, Mitch, there is data today. There's a lot of research showing that you can identify those teachers that reach certain types of students. And so, again, the techniques that a teacher uses, an individual teacher uses, can be tracked to see which students they're successful with. And so it also deals with those districts, as Jeff knows, because Monona Grove does this, is they put students in classes based on their internal testing and their internal portfolio systems. And so you can also match those teachers to those students. So it is doable. The point being, though, is there are school districts that move teachers from one type of class to another in mathematics, and they don't teach it very well. And here's the other problem, Mitch. Yeah. The point being is, if a teacher is doing well, why should, because of Jeff's argument that, well, what about other teachers who can't reach kids? Well, you know what? The teacher that does
I never once said that. What about other teachers that can't reach kids? I said every person is not going to equal every other person. See,
well, okay,
those
that's true.
That are better,
that's
those
true.
Are better reaching kids should get
but
paid
Jeff,
more.
Jeff, let's be honest. I had some great teachers. I could name them now. I'm sure you could, too. And I had some idiot teachers that I couldn't stand. But, you know, they got paid the same, as we both know, and that's what...
But, Mitch, let's be honest. There were other kids in your class that hated the teacher, that really loved the teacher that you called an idiot.
No, I don't think so. Not when Mr. Green in English would say, study your textbooks carefully, and the next day he'd give us a quiz on when the copyright was on the textbook.
But here's the other thing. Let's
education
stop worrying about
them when you were a kid, too, Mitch. Teachers' unions don't protect bad teachers. That's a myth. No matter what you say, teachers.
I will say you're right. John Matthews did tell me he'd like to see some teachers fired, but they had to protect their rights. But he said, "Hey,
right, you have to protect their rights. If a principal had a problem and they documented, you could fire a teacher.
That's true, isn't it, Mike? And we gotta have a paper trail.
Let's again. This is the problem with Jeff, and I'm going to say it point blank. There is no right to be a bad teacher and destroy the education of children. That damage is lifelong. So the point
being is, you have a right to be treated as an individual employee, as a human being, and you need to be fired correctly. You can't just fire somebody because you think they're a bad teacher.
The argument about excessive due process, which is what Jeff supports,
yes.
is ridiculous. We have to make a decision.
I just want due process.
No.
That's one of the problems with the public, because in the private sector, in the real world, you get fired and you're gone that day.
Yes.
I mean, I was on WIB. I was on 12 years.
Union, so
did I get, how much due process did I get, after 12 years on a Clear Channel station? I mean, I was gone in 5 minutes, they called me in.
That's why you needed a union.
Well, that's the problem. Jeff prioritizes unions. I prioritize children and their education, and that's
so
the
do
issue.
I.
Well, I would have fired.
I would have
loved to have fired my English teacher right away. But no, I understand this whole due process thing. But that's kind of gone away, isn't it? With the
act? Oh no, it's still there.
It's gone away with due process. Because it's charged, absolutely.
But it's still too lengthy. And again,
well, I
got to
tell you, go
about
ahead.
Children.
Most people don't care about that, Jeff. I hate to say it, parents. And
yes, they don't.
You know, they really don't. I mean, who cares? I mean, if you got some bad teacher that's go through 5 weeks of meetings and hearings and reviews, I mean, I don't think that's real popular in the among parents.
Right, but what happens if you have the woman who won't sleep with the principal and then gets fired, huh?
Well, yeah, but aren't there labor laws on?
Oh. No, there really aren't.
Let's get
real. Really?
You think only the teachers that
sexual harassment? You can sue him.
Did you? Well, you can sue him, but that's a long due process. Did you get fired because you weren't performing at WIBA?
No, the ratings were good, but it was corporate. You know, they had a $21
right,
billion
right.
dollar debt.
let's summarize here.
With a B.
You want to move that to our education system?
Hang on. Let's summarize what Jeff is saying. So the current due process system under Act 10 can take up to a year, as I've been told by several principals. That means that bad teacher, we all agree is a bad teacher, continues to damage children for months, not weeks, months.
How do we all agree it's a bad
It shouldn't issue? Take a year, Jeff. Let's say, I mean, yeah, it'll take maybe 3 months tops, don't you think?
No, it takes a year.
Well, it shouldn't take a year. I'm just saying it should not take a year.
That's because of the due process requirements that even the Monona Grove School District that Jeff has in their handbook, which they gave away to the union, has a process that would take up to
give
a year
to the
union.
Should we charge them for their handbook?
Jeff, I mean, give me, you know, the parents out there don't care about somebody having a year worth of due process. I mean, give them 3 months, that's it. I mean, come on.
3 months of what, though?
Huh?
I don't know. 3 months of what? How are you deciding in 3 months?
Well, for God's sake, most people get 5 minutes, so you might as well give 3 months. I mean, hearings, review, meetings. I mean, you give your argument, your lawyer gives his argument or hers, and that's it.
Right. You need documented proof that this is a bad teacher.
Whatever happened to the old statement, every child deserves a great school? Jeff believes every teacher
every
deserves
a
great union. That's the problem.
They cut $2.5 billion from the school district. Every child does deserve a great school.
$2.5 billion.
But every time a teacher upsets a principal or a parent, we just fire them?
Possibly, if they're not doing their job.
As my sister tells me from the front lines at my hometown high school, there are bad principals, Mike. I mean, let's not forget, there are bad principals.
That's what you have
well, there's
a school
bad
board.
Everything.
That's
there's
what you
bad
have a school board.
Staff, and there's bad legislators. There's a bad government.
Well, you guys get in the room and work it out. For God's sake, work it out.
I'm not going to say there isn't bad everything.
I don't mind due process, Jeff, but I just don't want to take a year while they screw the kids' education. So, you know, there's got to be a compromise, all right? That's the deal. Ready, set, break. But I appreciate the call. We'll come back in a moment. I want to ask another question here. The Mikester. This is the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalk.com.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Looking for something to do? Maybe you got a birthday coming up. You want to get the family together? Come to Comedy on State. It's so easy. You can go to madisoncomedy.com. You can purchase your tickets right from the website. We book the best comics from Late Night, from Conan O'Brien, from Comedy Central.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to madisoncomedyclub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. madisoncomedy.com or 256-0099.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Well, that was a good little back and forth. But Mike Michelson, since you're there working for Senator Stephen Nance of Whitewater, what's this deal with Republicans trying to solve the homelessness problem in Wisconsin?
Yeah, in the assembly in particular, there's a package of bills that they've brought forward to try to address the concern with the continuing problem of long-term chronic homelessness in Wisconsin. And as we know right now, it's generally about 27,000 people a year who go in and out of the various programs we already have for homeless folks. And so it's been that consistent number for a long time. They're looking at making some changes. I will tell you, there's going to probably be some resistance to some of this. On the left, they don't think it's enough. And on the right, they're concerned that many of these transitional programs are being quietly changed in these bills to potentially permanent programs. So, for example, if I'm homeless, I can get a voucher right now for housing for up to 24 months under the current Wisconsin program.
Oh, really?
One of the bills is going to change that.
Well, is there enough housing for the exercise?
Well, yes and no. In some regions, there is plenty of housing when these vouchers become available. In other regions, there's not. So in Madison and Dane County and Milwaukee, they point out that they don't have enough low-income housing where people, the owners, the landlords, will take these vouchers, or the housing programs run by the county where they may own some facilities, they don't have enough space.
What about shelter? Enough space for shelters?
Well, shelters are a temporary solution, Mitch. These are more where we try to put people in and get them dried out if they're on drugs or alcohol and then get them the training. So we've always made the housing voucher contingent that it's 24 months, it's 2 years, you get yourself fixed up and you start moving on. One of the bills will change that and quietly remove the transitional part and potentially make those housing grants permanent. Senator Nass and others in the Senate have some concerns with that because we're afraid that is not going to provide the impetus for people to continue to keep doing what they do in that process when it's transitional, to clean themselves up and make themselves capable of going out and supporting themselves. If you give something to someone for free and say, hey, your housing problem is solved, in many cases, we've seen these folks drift back into the lifestyle problems that caused their homelessness in the first place. So that particular bill, we've got some concerns.
Mm-hmm.
They want to create an interagency collaboration amongst all the state agencies that deal with this. Unfortunately, again, as usual, they create another $95,000 a year position for that.
Yes,
we're not sure that that's the best use.
Put me in for that, John, will you, Mike?
Yeah, we'll put you in for that, Mitch. And then there's another bill, which we have some concern with, where they want to create some make-work jobs, where they want to run a pilot program to a single city, probably going to be something like Madison or Milwaukee, where it would be $75,000 would go to that city. The city would have to come up with $50,000, and they would take these homeless people and start paying them to clean up parks and public places and all of that. I would point out that so far, the only entities that have registered in support of these bills are Dane County and the city of Milwaukee. So that kind of tells you what's going on.
So more coordination, but so it may not pass anyways.
They may. I mean, I think there'll be some concern in the Senate that, again, we're for transitional programming to get people up and out. We're not for changing these programs and now starting another whole range of long-term programs. Remember, we already have a lot of programs. Let's be clear. We have layered programs upon layered programs throughout state and local government. And then you add the nonprofits in, and there's a third layer. So
it sounds like a bunch of alphabet soup to me, but
it is.
Maybe your boss won't vote for it, Stephen.
He's undecided on a couple of these because of that issue of changing them from transitional to implying almost permanent assistance.
Yeah. The other question I have is Joe Parisi said no on the governor's race. Tim Cullen said no, and he said money. I'm sure the money was a factor. I mean, where is Scott Walker vulnerable? I know you're going to say as a Republican he's Mr. Invincible, but, you know, let's face it. I mean, even though Wisconsinites are working, they probably aren't happy with the pay. It's always the issue, isn't it? Wages. And
well, Mitch, I would just say look at the current state budget. Even though Republicans are fighting over transportation, the issue is it's not about – there's a lot of money there for transportation. Some Republicans want more, but there's a lot. But let's point out there's a $649 million reinvestment to K-12 education. There's the governor has a plan for about $140 million in reinvestment to the UW. We have medical assistance costs under control. We're having to invest in that at one of the lowest levels we've had in several years because of some of the reforms that the governor has enacted. So when you look at the current budget, one of the reasons I think people are ignoring on the left, but realistically the public's getting it, is that our budget health, we are in a lot better shape than we've been. Now, we still have problems. Don't get me wrong. We have an economy which is still slow. It's starting to pick up. But there are threats, as we see, going out 1 year and year to a year and a half out, potentially with growth. So the state budget, though, is really what I think is giving the governor a lot of additional strength that people don't realize, because he is reinvesting, as he promised. We went through that period.
No, I understand all that, so you're thinking they'll stave off any vulnerability. I guess the ultimate vulnerability is just the sort of stagnant nature of Wisconsin's economy. I mean, we do well. We have a lot of people working. But you're not going to have people just eating the candy and the fruitcake, are you?
Let me be clear again, Mitch. 71 counties do not want to be like Dane County. They do not want.
So they're happy.
Bernie Sanders. They do not.
So Scott Walker could be governor for the rest of his life, Mike.
No, I don't think so. I think what you're seeing, though, is that this has always been a fiscally conservative state. Even a lot of Democrats are fiscally conservative. And what I think is the Democratic Party in Wisconsin has gotten so far to the left. They fit better in Massachusetts, or they fit better in California. They do not fit Wisconsin.
No, Massachusetts, even, they try to be smart. I mean, they've elected a lot of Republican governors, you know, not so much senators, but governors they have, you know.
Well, and that's because you're seeing that change here in Wisconsin. People have had enough of seeing a lot of their hard-earned money going from those other counties to places like Milwaukee and Dane. You know, Dane is prospering, but Dane prospers because of the University of Wisconsin and state government. If you take those out, Dane County would have to struggle like other communities private sector businesses, which they
despise. Well, that's like taking Bill Russell off the Celtics. You know, they wouldn't have won as many titles. You know?
Yes. If you took UW-Madison and state government and put it in any other county in the state, they would thrive just as well.
Well, your old buddy Robert Lorge wanted to put it in Crivets. You know,
yes, there were several places.
He didn't have a lot of support for that, by the way.
No, it's not going anywhere. But I think, Mitch, again, when people wonder about the strength, yeah, there's all the political stuff, the fundraising, all of that. The governor is certainly strong. But the governor is showing that what he promised, he's following through on. And I'm telling you, this gas tax fight with middle-class Wisconsinites, fact that he's now said, I will veto a gas tax.
No, increase, I know all that.
Solidifies him with a lot of people.
I think you'd have to have a good speaker, and somebody would get down to the. We lost Mike. Well, that's okay. You still got you. Yeah, we'll see. I think Feingold should do it. What has he got to lose? You know, they're mad at him for not being around during the.
You know what he's got to lose? He'd have to come back from California in that weather out there that he's enjoying the lifestyle.
Well, good restaurants in Palo Alto. All right, thanks a lot, Mike Michelson. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, Mike.
And we'll come back with Tucker Carlson and Mark Cuban, a big debate.